Check out my newly renamed podcast, Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown, where we'll discuss the ongoing conflict with Iran and its implications for our economy, security, and upcoming elections. Hope to see you there. Democracy on Fire on United America Network.
Welcome to Hotspots on the United America Network. From the shifting landscapes of politics and culture to the urgent challenges facing our planet and our communities, this is where the conversations that matter most come alive. With her experience as a journalist, legislator, and activist, Kay Brown brings sharp insight, uplifting perspective, and unflinching courage to the issues shaping our future. Get ready for candid conversations, bold ideas, and the pushback our times demand. Now, here's Kay.
Hello. Thank you for joining me here on United America Network. I'm Kay Brown, your host of Hotspots. We're going to be discussing Christian nationalism and the profound impacts it's having on our country. Christian nationalism is a through line that connects the authoritarian takeover of our government and the unrelenting assaults we're seeing on democracy, the rule of law, our health, and our personal freedoms. As it's playing out in our country today, Christian nationalism is essentially the marriage of fundamentalist religion, right-wing politics, and attempts to extend and consolidate authoritarian power. It's a scary time for our country and a tough time for people who care about an inclusive society and religious freedom for all. I'm happy to welcome Reverend Matt Schultz today to discuss this with me. Thank you, Reverend Schultz, for being here. Matt Schultz is an ordained pastor in the Presbyterian USA Church, serving in Anchorage, Alaska, and he has written recently in national publications on this topic. Thanks for joining me, Matt.
It is my pleasure, and it's great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you too. You are a minister of a Christian denomination. Why do you oppose Christian nationalism?
That's a great question, and one that we get a lot, because the title Christian nationalism intentionally tries to make it sound like it is a Christian thing. And so, of course, wouldn't Christians agree with it? Like, if you served me Christian hamburgers, wouldn't I like those better? But no, that's not the case. Christian nationalism is not a Christian belief. It is rather a political ideology that tries to centralize and empower a very small sect of Christianity. It's certainly not a sect to which I belong. And by empowering that group, it tries to eliminate the separation of church and state and give all the power just to a very, very small slice of the pie of hyper-conservative evangelicals in the U.S.
And so how does Christian nationalism differ from the Christianity that you subscribe to and preach and teach? How is it different from the Christianity that you embrace?
Lots and lots of ways. I'll probably think of more throughout our conversation. But certainly the hunger for power is one of those things. And we see that in the election of Donald Trump, that people who embrace Christian nationalism are more than happy to just brush aside all of the terrible behavior, the non-Christian life that he's led, in order to gain proximity to that presidential power. They're very happy to close their eyes to accusations of being on the Epstein list, for example, you know, to say, well, that doesn't matter because he's our guy, he's in power, and that's what we want. In Christianity, we don't strive for political power as the end. We strive for love and prayerfulness and humbleness of spirit. Those are the things we're going for. Christian nationalism is going for a permanent grasp of power. It's also important to add in that groups that are overtly Christian nationalists are also overtly racist and homophobic and misogynistic and xenophobic. And so there's a great deal of overlap between Christian nationalism and hate groups.
So are those perspectives affecting people's lives? Are we seeing those homophobia and so forth embedded in law and policy in the United States? Is this actually affecting how people are living or affecting their lives today?
Well, for sure. I think the one that we see most visually right now, the thing that's happening most is the ICE raids that are largely built on xenophobia and racism together. And it's not necessarily being done as a Christian endeavor, but it's being done by the same people who self-identify as Christians. And many of them self-identify as Christian nationalists are also the ones saying, let's have these ICE raids increase and continue to increase and continue to increase. This, despite the fact that the Bible dozens and dozens of times has the voice of God saying, you must welcome the immigrant, you must welcome the refugee, you must welcome the alien living among you and treat them as one of your own. So despite it being a direct opposition to what Scripture says, they're saying, hey, here we are, the Christians, doing this thing.
So separation of church and state is a fundamental principle that we have been abiding by since the beginning of our nation. And that seems to be blurring now in more ways. Do you see Christian nationalism as a threat to religious freedom for people in the United States today?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can see that some of their laws coming forward will want to do things like outlaw abortion, for example. And they use as their reason for that, their religious perspective. My religious perspective leads me to be pro-choice. And so if they're using their faith as a way to say our faith group's policy is being enacted here, well, they've chosen their faith over mine. Same with my full inclusion of people who are LGBTQ, right? If my faith directs me right to saying we must be fully inclusive. And now they're saying, well, no, because of how we interpret the Bible, we're going to make gay marriage illegal or any of the other things that are going on within that front, then they're suddenly saying that their religious perspective takes precedence over my own. They are establishing a state religion. And anytime you establish a state religion throughout all of history, it goes very, very poorly for any other religion in that nation. And they like to think that just because they put Christian on it somehow makes it okay or somehow makes it pertinent to all Christians. But their version of Christianity is so far away from mine, for example, they're almost unrecognizable as the same religion.
What is the solution to the ascendance of Christian nationalism for those of us who want to maintain democracy and maintain the rule of law?
There are lots. I think the most obvious one at this point is to vote in the 2026 elections and send people there that will represent a check and a balance to the executive branch. Right now, Congress is abdicating that duty. And we're seeing a lot of these horrible policies get put into place simply because the people that should be stopping him have chosen not to. That's one thing. Another thing is to maintain real relationships with people you know and have known for a long time who are starting down this path or are part of that world of Christian nationalism. It's easy in this age of social media to get hyper fragmented in our cultural circles and only hang out with people that already agree with us. We need to fight against that urge. It's way easier to say, I'm just going to hang out with everyone who agrees with me. But what that does is it allows something terrible like Christian nationalism to fester and grow because they're all talking to each other too, and it gets more and more deeply entrenched and it starts spreading out. So we need to keep those relationships with people and keep on talking to them about this. They need to know when they say something like, this is a Christian nation, they're going to get pushback from devout Christians like me when I say, no, this is not a Christian nation. And that's where the conversations start and they find their way into the ballot box from there as well. Finally, the last thing I mean, there's lots more, but the last one I'll float for you right now. I really think it's of the utmost importance to learn liberal theology. The people that are promoting Christian nationalism are trying to use a very, very shallow version of what they think Christianity is. And it's not very academically sound. It's not well thought through. It's essentially just wrapping a flag around a cross and saying, we're the good guys. We need to be better educated to know the theology, to really say, no, that's not how it works. You cannot marry those two things. They can be harmonious, but you cannot marry those two things together. Or else this is the problem that you cause.
Do you see reasons for hope in the current situation, which seems discouraging to a lot of people? What gives you hope?
Well, hope is my whole jam. That's That's my thing. And so, yes, I definitely have hope. There's a lot of reasons why. Along with being a student of theology, I am also a student of history. And I know very well that even though things are bad right now, they have been worse in other times in the past. And even though things are bad for us now in this regard, they're good for us in other ways. You know, infant mortality is better than it's ever been in history. And they're bad for us in our country now, but in other parts of the world, they're good. And also, other parts of the world have seen what we're seeing now. And so we're feeling it because it's hitting us. But other places have come through this and have found a way to get better afterwards. So it's good to have a global and a historical perspective to say, okay, this danger is real. It is a clear and present danger to our country. And also, we have overcome these sorts of things before, and we will again. So I see that hope at the many marches that are going on when tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are taking to the streets to voice their protest and to do so peacefully. That gives me hope that this is an ongoing thing. And even though a lot of damage has been done, there are still elections to come, and we can correct that damage.
I see those same opportunities before us and other reasons for hope that Trump is losing popularity. His policies are losing popularity. He's underwater in a lot of the country in the recent polling. So I think as awareness grows of the scandals and the corruption and the cruelty that are unfolding before us, more people will come to question how we got here and what we're going to do about it. The threats to health, the limiting access to vaccines that, you know, is just kind of a development that I think will wake some people up who perhaps haven't been tuned into this before. And then the economy and the impacts that we're beginning to see from the effect of the tariffs and the other things that are being implemented. But most of all, for women, just the loss of personal freedom that we have experienced over the last couple of years really coming to fruition now in this administration. So there are a lot of things to be concerned about, but what I'm hopeful about is the resistance does seem to be gaining momentum.
Yeah.
As more people come to want to address it in some way, but it's a challenge because it's not immediately apparent what's going to be effective. And there are millions of people that are now engaging, but do we have a big enough force to get their attention and to really make the kind of pushback that will stop things? And I think we've seen a few examples of where Trump has pivoted or backed down, although he never admits that he's doing that. In response to people standing up to him, he, you know, bullies often maintain their power when no one stops them or tries to stop them. So with our leaders beginning to push back, that's an encouraging sign. But it's going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of unity of message and of perspective and determination for us to get through this successfully.
You've seen other days of discord and hardship. How does this compare, in your opinion?
It's more dramatic than anything I've experienced in my lifetime. I don't recall a time feeling as alarmed about the changes and the destruction that I see of the agencies, the loss of science, the loss of emergency response capability, the loss of monitoring the climate. In my professional life, I work on climate change issues, and it's just very discouraging to see our country leave the international stage and stop being a positive force to address this crisis that we're in. And that has just been really pushed to the back as the president continues to promote more fossil fuel development and oil and gas as the solution and so on. So that's all very, very troubling. But I do think there's a path forward, and it begins with awareness, and awareness that touches people leads to action, and action is going to help us consolidate a movement. And that's what we're working on here at United America Network. We're building a movement And we hope that people will join us here and be active in the pushback to come in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah. Yeah. So often at the rallies or at, I just taught at a class on Christian nationalism, the outgrowth of the one that you created with Larry Michael. And I taught at one of those classes. And at the end of all of these things, people always finish by saying, well, what can we do? That awareness is great. And now I've learned this. Where do I go to do something productive and constructive? And that's always, it's a lovely thing to hear, right? It shows how much they care. They want to take action. And of course, we say, you know, vote and get in early to support candidates. But I'm always looking for ideas. If you have more things that we can do to get people involved, we can send them your way for sure.
Well, we have to keep our eye on the 2026 election. We need to win control of both houses of Congress, and that will be a very significant impediment toward the path that we're on and the policies that Trump is attempting to implement. So I think that's an achievable thing for us, and we need to work really hard to bring that about. For today, we'll leave it there in this podcast. We're working on raising awareness about the situations around us that need attention, and this is certainly one of them, and trying to articulate the positive steps people can take, that we can take together to stop this downward spiral of authoritarianism that we're experiencing. So we hope you'll join us. We hope you'll join the movement here on United America Network. This is what democracy looks and sounds like. UnitedAmericaNetwork.com.
You've been listening to Hotspots with Kay Brown, where tough issues meet thoughtful conversation. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and join us again as we spotlight the struggles, solutions, and stories that fuel resilience and change. Until next time, keep your fire burning. Hot Spots is a production of the United America Network and is available on most major podcast platforms, as well as from UnitedAmericaNetwork.com. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.
If you've had enough and want to wake up our recalcitrant Congress, join me on Democracy on Fire with Kay Brown for the top 23 reasons we need regime change now. Hope to see you there, Democracy on Fire, on United America Network.